We're just going to read, amen, one verse, and then later on we're going to read the whole text surrounding this verse, amen. Let me try one thing before I get started, amen. One second. I got this lapel here. Amen. Can you guys hear me? Amen. Stepping up our game in Point Loma, amen. Amen. Hands free, amen. God's wonderful, amen. I'd like to minister a sermon I titled Luke 7:47 Principle, amen. And the Word of God says this, it says this, therefore, I say unto you, her sins, this sounds like an echo, is there an echo?
No.
Okay, sorry. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you, God, for this opportunity to hear your words, God, to encourage us in the faith, oh God, to know more about you, God. We pray, God, you may continue to move in our lives, God. We pray your anointing, God, upon this sermon, God. I pray that you will help us, strengthen us, oh God, encourage us, God, that we may go forward, oh God, in life, oh God, carrying your name, bearing witness, oh God, of your truth and your love and the forgiveness that you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I ministered this sermon because it ministered to me a long time ago. I read this verse at a very young age when I was early saved in the Bible as a Christian, amen. And honestly, I had trouble with this verse. I had trouble with the truth that I presented it. In my early walk, I wanted to tell God something. I wanted to tell God that, God, you have this verse wrong. Because I wanted to justify myself. I wanted to say, God, I didn't do that much wrong. I wasn't like this person or that person. I didn't have this testimony or that testimony. I wasn't heavily addicted to drugs. I wasn't involved in fornication. I kept myself from marriage. I wasn't involved in gangs. I didn't hate anybody, and so on and so on. And it troubled me so much that I started to think that I was only forgiven of a little. And there was a battle in my mind where I wanted to tell God, God, you have this scripture wrong, because I'm only forgiven of little, but I love you much. And I remember specifically driving back to base at that time, North Island, where God spoke to me. I was driving north on the 5 freeway. And he said, your sins would have sent you to hell. And at that moment, and at that very moment, I realized that I was forgiven of much. You see, when you read this story, amen, in Luke 7, 36 through 47, amen, you see a bigger picture what's going on here. In Luke 7, 36, it says this. Now when Simon the Pharisee asked Jesus to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down, and behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus was at the table of the Pharisee's house, she bought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood behind the feet of Jesus, and he stood behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears, and she wiped them with her hair, and she kissed his feet and anointed his feet with the fragrance oil. Now when the Pharisee who invited Jesus saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, If this man were for a prophet, he would have known who and what kind of manner this woman is who's touching him, for she's a sinner. And Jesus answered him and said, Simon, I have something to say to you. He said, say it, teacher. He said, a certain moneylender who had two debtors, one owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they could not pay him back anymore, he canceled their debt and he forgave them freely. Now, which of them would love him more? he asked Simon. And Simon answered, "The one, I suppose, he counseled with the larger debt." And Jesus said to him, "You have judged rightly." And then Jesus turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman here? I entered into your house and you gave me no water for my feet, but she washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased kissing my feet ever since the time I came in. And you did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrance oil. Therefore, I say to you, Simon, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, and to whom little is forgiven, the same loves a little." You see, the story starts here with Simon discrediting Jesus. He says, if this man was a prophet, he should have known what kind of woman this woman is, who she was, for she's a sinner. But he didn't say it out loud. He said it inside his heart. He said it within himself. And then you see here Jesus, knowing the thoughts of our hearts and the thoughts of our minds, he addresses Simon. But the thing was that everybody knew this. Everybody knew if Jesus was a prophet, the general public knew. All the leaders of Israel knew what kind of woman this is. And no one in the general public knew that, you know, no one in the general public doubted that Jesus was a prophet. No one could do the miracles that Jesus was doing without being a prophet of God. Maybe this was the reason that Simon wanted Jesus to come over his house, so he could brag among his friends, among his other Pharisee friends, saying that, "Oh, I had the prophet of God come to my house." But he wasn't expecting a life lesson. You see, it was customary for a Jew to show some type of hospitality to their visiting guests. It was just common practice. It was common practice to make them feel welcome, to greet them with a kiss. Today, this would be like equivalent to like a handshake or a hug. When a guest comes over to your house, they would have a servant at the house washing the guest's feet, you know, because sandals were the shoe of the day. But this Pharisee just allowed Jesus' feet to be dirty all over the house, so people possibly could make a mockery of him. "Oh, sticking out like a sore thumb, he has dirty feet in a guest house." This customary would go all the way back to Genesis 18 and verse 4, where Abraham, who had three visiting friends that came to him, he said these, "Let me bring out a little water so that you may wash your feet." It was just common practice, a courtesy. But we see Simon in his heart said, if he were a prophet, he would have nothing to do with this woman, for she's a sinner. You see, Simon here doubted that Jesus was a prophet. He thought Jesus was unable to see this woman's heart. But Jesus turned it around towards him and exposed his heart. Jesus heard what Simon said to himself, and he said, "Simon, I have something to say to you." He said, "Go ahead, teacher." He was caught off guard by Jesus' assertion. And he tells the story ultimately that shows the reflection of his heart towards God. He couldn't see that this woman was a humble sinner. He couldn't see that she was seeking for forgiveness. He couldn't see that she was pouring out his love for Jesus. He only saw her as a stinking sinner. But there is one discovery that this woman found that Simon didn't find by studying the law. And it was God's love. And we're not told when this woman cried out for forgiveness. All we can gather from Scripture is that faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. So somebody possibly would have told this woman, you know, about the forgiveness of sins that Jesus has to offer, the hope that Jesus has for people like us. Or perhaps she was possibly in the crowd when the woman was caught in adultery. And she saw what Jesus did. Well, all the leaders of Israel wanted Jesus to condemn her. They're ready to cast a stone to her. They're to put her to death. Because penalty, the penalty for adultery was death at that time. But we see that Jesus forgave her instead, condemning her. It was the expectation of the day to condemn people. And it's even the expectation of even today. Today, people think about that God is up there condemning folks. Just there to, you know, send people to hell. But that's not the case. God's there to save us, to redeem us, to restore us, not to point out every sin that we did. And it's not the fact that Simon couldn't be forgiven. It's just that he never asked to be forgiven. He was self-righteous. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. The whole motive of Jesus forgiving your sins is because he loves you. Love is what drives the power to forgive. We all need forgiveness. And if you really think about it, we can't never give back what we never receive. If we never receive love, how can we love one another? Jesus loved us so we can love one another. You give love by receiving it first. In fact, the scriptures bear witness to this. In 1 John 4:19, it says, we love because he loved us first. 1 John 4:10, it says this, and this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son Jesus to be an anointing sacrifice for our sins. In Ephesians 5:1-2, it says this, be imitators of God. Therefore, as dearly loved children, live a life of love just as Christ loved us. And in Ephesians 4:32, it says this, be kind and compassionate to one another. Be compassionate to your husband. Be compassionate to your wife. Be compassionate to your mother, your brother. Forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. And I'd like to ask you a question this morning. How can we Christians live a life of forgiveness and love? How can we walk this walk of faith of forgiving people who are offended us? People who doesn't even love us back. But this is the call that Jesus called us Christians to love people. To forgive people. In fact, he told us, Peter went up to Jesus and asked him, Lord, how many times I have to forgive my brother? And Jesus said, 7 times 70. 7 times 70 is 490 times. Man, if somebody offended me 490 times, you know, it gets old. It gets old. You don't want to forgive that person. You're like, man, that person. But Jesus said, if he comes to you in repentance of heart, 490 times you shall forgive them. But here, it's like a deposit into your life account. As you draw near to God, he shows you how compassionate he is. He shows you how full of grace he is, how slow to anger he is, how abundant in love he is, and his faithfulness, never ceasing to forgive. And when you have this revelation, you can make a deposit into others. But our deposit has to come from God first. We have to draw near to God. Otherwise, if you have no deposit or you have not drawn near to God, you just dig deeper, trying harder at life. But it's becoming frustrated. But then you have people who think that they once received God's love and used it all up and never think that they could go back to God again. Never thinking that they need to ask God for forgiveness again. But their hearts deceive themselves. Thinking that you only once need to be forgiven of God. You never have to go back to God for forgiveness. But you think about David. If you read David's story and David's life in the Bible, you know that one of the most prominent sins that he did was committed adultery with Bathsheba. But that wasn't the only time he committed adultery. I mean, that was not the only time he sinned. I'm sorry. The Bible records he sinned again when he numbered the army of Israel. And people warned him not to do it. But he kept on with the pride of his heart. And then when he was exposed of his sin, he was sorry. He was repentful. I don't even know if that's a word, but it's a word now. He sinned when he wanted to kill Saul. He had the opportunity to kill Saul twice. You think, you know, if he had a forgiving heart, he would just forgive. But he wanted to prove Saul that, hey, I could have killed you, bro. He sinned in his heart when he wanted to kill Nabal. The story about that is that he was a servant to Nabal. He was a worker, I guess you could say. And Nabal hired him to protect his sheep, his assets, you know, out there in the field. So he was working all day, and David and his men were hungry. And then it came for payday. And he said, hey, you know, I protected your sheep. I protected your flock, your oxen. Now, you know, it's time for you to pay up. And then Nabal said, who are you? Who are you? And so you see David here, you know, he was hungry. He got hangry. He's like, yeah, I'll show you who I am. I'm going to kill you, bro. But you see here, Nabal's wife went before he got to Nabal asking him for forgiveness. She said, you know, my husband, he's a scoundrel. You know, don't pay attention to him. But all of it, Israel, everybody knows that God has a plan for your life. Don't ruin it by giving in to bitterness, giving to hate, David. And he forgave and let God deal with them. And here we go to God again and again. We can always go to God again and again asking for forgiveness. And it proves that, you know, when you go to God for forgiveness, it proves God's love. It proves his faithfulness. Because there's nowhere else to go for forgiveness. You can't go anywhere else. God has the only one to forgive you your sins. Jesus is the only one that can forgive sins. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you asked God to forgive you of your sins? When was the last time you asked God in prayer, I love you? See, I believe God desires to hear from his children their expression of love, not only through deeds but also through words. Through words are powerful. Just like any parent, they love their children and say, I love you. And we are children of God. We ought to reflect that in our prayer life. God, I love you. I thank you, God, for your goodness, your grace. In 1 John 4:9-10, it says this: if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. But the natural response is, when we sin, is to cover it up. That's what Adam and Eve did. The moment they sinned, the first sin of the world, they didn't go to God for forgiveness. No, they tried to cover it up. They got fig leaves. They sold fig leaves and they hid themselves from God. Why? Because sin brings shame. They were shameful because they were naked. And God knew they were naked, but now they try to cover themselves up. But the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. God showed much of his love by sending his son Jesus into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. And it says this: in this is real love. It is not that we have loved God, but he loved us first, sending his son Jesus as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us so much, we ought to love each other. It's like a tree that draws its nutrients from the soil. We as Christians, we should draw nutrients from God as we draw closer to God. I was thinking about 1 Corinthians chapter 13 as I was putting this sermon together a while back. And 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it's a chapter that's regarded as the love chapter in the Bible. It's a very famous chapter in the Bible, and it's often read in marriages and many events, you know, that expressing one's love to one another. It reads like this: love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy, love does not boast, love is not proud, love is not rude, love is not self-seeking, love is not easily angered, love keeps no record of wrong, love does not delight in evil but rejoices with the truth, love always protects, love always trusts, love always hopes, love always perseveres, love never fails. And I was thinking about myself, you know, when you read this Bible, when you read the Word of God and you read the Bible, it speaks to you. And I was reading, like, how do I fit in this verse? And I'd like for you to actually do this little exercise with me. If you were to take out the word love and replace it with your name and read the verse with your name in it instead of love, how would it read? I give you a little time to read it. Amen. When you read this verse with your name in it, especially out loud, you will begin to see how shortcoming you are. And you might even start to do some check marks, like, yeah, I got that one down. Well, I'm working on this one. Well, I don't know about that one yet, but because there's a lot to do with love here in this verse. And just for example's sake, amen, I'd like to just use my name here. Danny is patient. Danny is kind. Danny does not envy. Danny does not boast. Danny is not proud. Danny is not rude. Danny is not self-seeking. Danny is not easily angered. Danny keeps no record of wrong. Danny does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. Danny always protects. Danny always trusts. Danny always hopes. Danny always perseveres. Danny never fails. And when I read that verse with my name, it doesn't sound good. It doesn't sound good because I know myself. You know, I never fail. That's not true. Do I always trust? No, I don't always trust everybody. You know, I don't boast. I mean, I know back in the day I was good in basketball. You know, I used to boast about that. But it just doesn't sound good. But in fact, if you read the name of Jesus in this verse and know what the scripture says, it says God is love. And if Jesus is God and God is love, then Jesus' name will fit perfectly in this verse. In fact, it would read like this: Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. Jesus does not envy. Jesus does not boast. Jesus is not proud. Jesus is not rude. Jesus is not self-seeking. Jesus is not easily angered. Jesus keeps no record of wrong. Jesus does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Jesus always protects. Jesus always trusts. Jesus always hopes. Jesus always perseveres. Jesus never fails. Amen. Doesn't that sound so much sweeter than our names? The name of Jesus, amen. And you might be here this morning asking yourself this one question: does anybody love me? Does anybody love me? God loves you. And He loves you with an unfailing love. He loves you with a steadfast love. He loves you with an unconditional love. And when you realize how much you've been forgiven, it shows. It shows. The scripture says, to whom much is forgiven loves much, and to whom little is forgiven, little loves little. And you wonder why people, why some friends, why some family members come to know Christ so little. It's because they only been asked to be forgiven of little. Or perhaps they're like Simon, only know Christ at a distance. And I close with this, that you can find people who will forsake Christ you will find people who will forsake nothing for Christ because none of their sins are forgiven. And you will find people who will forsake little for Christ because little of their sins have been forgiven. And you will find people who will forsake much for Christ because much of their sins are forgiven. And you will find people who will forsake all for Christ because all of their sins have been forgiven. Amen. I'd like to have every head bowed, every eye closed. Amen.